listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Well, it must be, it's 3 a.m. on Friday, the 20-something of December. And I'm here with my old friend, Peter Shea. Hello, Peter.
Well, all of a sudden, he's come into the room, but he's gone all quiet on us.
Press your button, Peter, before you speak. Your microphone's muted. Do you need to hold on? Oh, that's better.
How the fuck are you?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. Yeah, not bad.
Well,
how about yourself?
I'm well, alive and kicking. Am I under an obligation to you now, Tom, that you could grant me the power to talk, or what's the story?
Well, it appears so, yes. It's just one of the quirks of audio chat, isn't it? You need to be able to be granted talk power.
You have that power, Tom. How did you attain this power, Master?
Well, you had put something on the site today about a level 3 authenticity check or something for some voice recognition check on someone. I think he must have been joking, but
I wonder how Edna would do on that one, eh? I'm sorry, when I laugh, do I take my hand off the space bar button? I don't know.
No, I think laughter is important. It'd be a shame to lose it.
It's absolutely vital, Tom, and, you know, I don't mind who's listening, and I'm just talking to my old friend Tom. We've talked to each other before.
Oh, yes.
And we haven't forgotten each other, and life goes on. There's only one man alive in this world, and that's you, you know, or that's me, or that's whoever, you know, because that's all we know, it's ourselves. But, laughter, that's the only thing, because at the end of the day, after finding out what a big joke it is, it's all a big fucking joke. And actually, recently, it's been a more in-your-face joke, you know what I mean? If you don't get it at this stage, there's little hope for you, because
it's so fucking funny.
And look, just on the so funny level, how funny is this, Tom? And maybe listeners maybe listeners in Australia, or maybe listeners outside of the British Isles, I'm going to say, this neck of the woods, mightn't appreciate the joke as it is, but I want to ask you about this. How funny is this? David Bowie dies. And the very next day on Sky News, a guy called Jack Stephen comes on, who's the spitting fucking image of David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
And is an expert, all of a sudden, on David Bowie's life and times and his music and his rise and fall and rise again. But, he's the spitting image of him. Exact same nose, exact same expressions, exact same talk. You do a Google image search of this guy who's made it onto Sky News the very next day, and you can't get fuck all about him.
He's not a very high profile sort of person. He's a music sort of business sort of guy. It was a bit weird, wasn't it? Yeah, he came out of Cyprus or something, just turned up, and he looked like Bowie, didn't he? I did look at that. But, I mean, obviously he wasn't him. You're not thinking he was him, are you?
No, Tom. It was him.
Oh, you think it was David Bowie? Oh, this guy. Ah, right.
It was David Bowie. And again, not only, forgetting about everything else we've come to know, I don't know if there's a bit of controversy involved there. There's a few, a few kind of shaky, rough areas, but forget about that. You can deny certain things, but once the sort of coincidences pile up, there comes a stage where you just can't deny it anymore.
What a coincidence. David Bowie dies, and the next day, he turns up.
Exactly, talking about himself. Talking about himself.
That's not a coincidence. That's a fucking rebirth. That really is Lazarus. I mean, I don't think so, Peter. I looked at that. And I mean, come on, I've studied Bowie for years, just looking at him in his, with him doing his art or whatever, his music. And that other guy, it was kind of uncanny in the sense that he really did have a bit about him, you know, of a bit of a David Bowie about him. But no, my sense of that, no way, Jose. I can't go with that.
Okay, Tom. Okay. Now that I have the opportunity, let me present, in a relaxed fashion, my,
Don't take your clothes off.
Yeah. Let me tell you why I am absolutely convinced it is David Bowie. First of all, okay. You know, all the obvious clues. David Bowie, he is an album. Comes out a couple of days, 3 days before his death. He's never had a number one album. Suddenly he has a number one album. He has a song called Lazarus, Black Star, another interesting title as well.
Yes. All this is relevant. It's got nothing to do with this other bloke, but it's all interesting. And it was so orchestrated, wasn't it? And you had Celebrity Big Brother House over here. We had Angie Bowie in it. You know, it's so contrived, you know.
Exactly. Did you? I only added to my convincing that I was right, because...
Well, no, but it's just under control. I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't have been a real death that was just completely then, you know, taken over and
Hang on. Let me... again, I'm just talking to you and my old friend Tom...
This is like having a chat in a pub about it, and you know I'm open to lots of things, and I'm totally open to anything. And did he really die? Well, I don't know, but
all right.
69 cancer, and then Rickman 2 days later, 69 cancer. Yeah, right. It can stick in your head, doesn't it? It would be a catchy number
Let me give you the other pieces of information that just copper fascinated for me, you know. Outside of all those things, because they were all made public, you know, and they were all sort of, as Ab would describe, or Tim would say, candy, you know, conspiracy candy. So that's all the sort of superficial, and actually, what do you do to relax a bit more? Because I guess when you're looking at a laptop, you sort of feel like you have to look at the screen. So let me just, focus my eyes somewhere else. But anyway. Beyond that.
Put a screensaver up of sort of a tranquil scene or something.
Okay. You should close my eyes. We're mostly visual creatures, you see, and that's the biggest thing that deceives us, which is explains the power of the television, you know. But anyway,
why blind people never get conned.
Oh, well, I have interesting stories to tell about blind people, but that's a different conversation. Let me just wax lyrical here for about 2 minutes, Tom. And I'll just tell you, and whoever may be listening or whatever, my views on this matter, right? Straight away I knew, like Paris, when Paris happened, I didn't hear anything or do anything. I didn't, you know, I wasn't on any conspiracy sites. I just went in the room, mother had the television on, and then this breaking news flash came on. This stuff in Paris happened. Well, within, I'd say, 10 seconds, I saw whatever the president...
Hollande?
Exactly, Hollande, yeah. So I'm coming on and doing the Robbie Parker shrug. I think that's a good one. You're getting into character and going, oh, what a terrible thing. And I slapped my hat. And actually, I just saw a little brief clip of police officers going around the crime scene. And within 10 seconds, I slapped my hand on the couch and said, it's all more fake bullshit. You know, and of course you're going to be shot for that. But, okay, the minute Bowie died, I knew straight away, just in my own brain, just from everything we've learned, from how far we've come, it's bullshit, right? And then all these things serve to just reinforce, you know, I'm talking about all the superficial things, all the things that were released to the public, you know, reinforce. This is a narrative we've been fed. Then the more conspiracy candy, as Tim would say. Look a bit deeper. I knew it straight away. And then you had the story. You have Big Brother there.
Yeah, but you knew it. But that's just you had a sense of it.
Again, Tom, I'm just speaking about myself in my own brain. I'm not saying, I'm not saying that, you know, this is right for you or this is right for anyone else. I'm just speaking for myself. I knew it straight away. And then, again, to just add fuel to the fire, you had the Big Brother episode, and anyone who's listening here outside of, and I don't watch it, I don't watch TV, I know about that, and someone showed me a clip of that the other night, because I was mentioning to them about how David Bowie, and she told me that she cried, and I was going, oh God, don't cry. He ain't dead, man. He's just after quitting the scene. And yeah, she showed me the clip of Big Brother. I didn't watch it. I didn't know who was in it. I heard a story about Tila Tequila being kicked out because she mentioned a flat earther. That wasn't the reason. She was supposed to be a supporter of Hitler,
Hitler. Did one of them mention the flat earth or something?
That's
very trendy. Oh, that's cool.
Yes, but this is the point, Tom. I think there's more going on. You see, this is all to bring attention to certain issues. And one is the flat earth. One is Hitler. We know that Hitler wasn't what they say he was. Now, what exactly he was, that's a different question.
Did they bundle her in with these conspiracy theories? Flat earth and Hitler thing, was it? Was it a Hitler thing? So,
It's as if someone wants us to know that her previous thoughts on matters.
We understand, you know? This, don't we? It's a technique of diffusing any issue with it, really. Because if you attach it to her very publicly, then that with a whole swathe of the population, it renders it obsolete as a valid theory. And what that's doing. That's the simple function that's performing, I believe, isn't it? Rather than, are they letting us know? They're telling us. They're teasing out. Well, I kind of think it's already out anyway. It's like a release of pressure of a valve, maybe. That's how I'd see it more.
But it's a dangerous. I mean, it depends as well, Tom. I mean, where we're coming from, and I've made it vocal, you know, where I have been coming from is that there's a good side as well as a bad side, you know, and while I understand that everything looks desperate, it is desperate, my own life is desperate, I won't make any pretense about it, but I think most people's lives are desperate at this stage, you know.
Desperate. Mine isn't desperate though, Peter, my life. I don't know, are people desperate? I think they're comfortable, aren't they, many people?
No, Tom, not the people I meet, anyway. No, not the people. Seriously. No, and then, I mean, I may be not qualified to project. And again, I'm looking at the screen. I don't know why I'm looking at the screen. But, I'm not qualified to project, but I think I've learned a thing or two throughout my own existence, you know, and yes, people are desperate here anyway, and there seems to be a sort of a desperate feel elsewhere. I'll give you a quick story. Again, Tom, it's just, I'm just talking to you, you know, and I'll give you a quick story. It's like, I beg your pardon, Tom, when I press the button, right, and you talk, your volume goes way down. So I'm not really sure. So actually, if you wanted to say something and you press your button, yeah, then I'll know. And then I'll take my hand off the button.
Yeah, it's all right. I think it'll come across okay. It's good to chat across each other sometimes. You know, I don't mind a bit of, you know, talking over each other. It's like a real conversation.
That's cool. It's just that when my button is up or when I'm pressing the space bar, and you make a comment, I'd like to hear it, but I can't hear it. You know what I mean? Because the volume is down.
I see. Over.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So it's not like a telephone conversation where I can react immediately, you know what I mean? Because I do, of course, respect everyone's point of view. Not obviously, but actually.
Well, I think that, yes, and it isn't like a natural conversation. And sometimes it seems like people are disturbing and talking over someone else when in actual fact... They're not at all. They're having a nice, trying to have a nice conversation.
No, and maybe I should kind of go to, because it's quite enough here. It's raining here in, southwestern Ireland, whatever that is, whatever that means. Because West isn't West anymore, you know. Go West, young man. What the fuck? What do you mean? Do you want me to go around in circles?
Well, that one is, that's an interesting one because that's been last year, hasn't it? That came in as a really made well known. God, someone's just been on Big Brother talking about it, you know?
Right. It's a good one, Tom, isn't it? It's an excellent one, actually. And there's lots of people talking about it.
I mean, what's a PSYOP in the first place is the model itself, isn't it? That we've been given, the official model. That's got the ball earth. Is that not a PSYOP?
Absolutely.
And then there's another PSYOP, which is they're played the card, the flat earth card, they call, you know, if you like. And so they put this model out and this map, this UM map, which I'm not even sure it wasn't once a proposed alternative model for a planet or something, you know.
I'm just recording there, Tom, but I was looking for the volume settings, actually, just to go talk normally. Is that in tools, is that? Or settings?
Well, you've done something. You seem to be recording it.
No, I'm recording it all right, but I was looking, why I pressed recording is because I just came across that while I was looking to change the volume setting the way I wouldn't have to press the space bar.
Yeah. Well, it's going back to the idea of the truth. Isn't the truth like it can't die, so you can't just bury it because it'll grow or something. It never dies. You can never kill it. So you have to just keep airing it and, you know, a bit, the flat earth could work in that way, perhaps. I don't know. Perhaps that's why. Blah, 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 blah. It's not a ball. Well, it might be. I don't know. I've no idea what it is.
Can you hear me, Tom?
Yeah. But it's interesting, isn't it? The whole way it's panned out this year and it's sort of come to, it still hasn't resolved itself really, in the sense that there seem to be some people obviously there's some prominent high profile people sort of just making a stand on it, and then people, old friends around here like Kay, who's not buying it. So it's definitely a divisive issue, isn't it? Still, it's worked like that.
Can you hear me, Tom?
Yeah. You keep disabling your mic, it seems, but I can hear you when you come in and say that and ask it.
Now, how's that, Tom?
Beautiful. You've got beautiful tones.
Lovely. That's much better now. That's much better. It's
just like Richard Harris.
Richard, there's a big statue of Richard Harris in the centre of Limerick City. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't been to Limerick.
Okay, good. You can hear me good. Okay. There's a big statue of Richard Harris in the middle of Limerick City. And, of course, he's famous for certain things. But doesn't it turn out, Tom, of course, oh, God, doesn't it turn out he's a sort of contemporary of Angela's Ashes. Frank McCourt. He's a contemporary of him, but as opposed to the real Frank McCourt who came from the impoverished area, Richard Harris was from the upper classes, the elite. Of course he was. Of course he was. They owned half Limerick and they owned all the mills and all that sort of stuff, you know, going back
right.
to the old days.
Yeah.
And hence he has. So there you go. Big statue up in the centre of town.
Well, he might have been from the elite, mate, but they still hung him up by his tits in that tent, didn't they? Them Indians.
Oh, God.
Do you remember?
I mean, you talked about truth, Tom. Can you hear me okay, by the way?
I can still hear you okay.
Lovely. I would just say, if you could turn your volume up just a tiny bit, I'd be able to hear you a little better, and
Okay, let's see what I can do.
That's great, Tom. Lovely. Yeah, you were talking about truth earlier on, but what is truth like? You know what I mean? What is truth? It's all.
Well, like, yeah, but like the Earth, our planet, the model we've got. Yeah.
Mm.
So you've got doubts about the ball Earth model, but we haven't got another model, have we? I mean, I suppose there is that flat Earth map and things, but it's a completely undeveloped model. It's not really.
Well, here's a thought experiment, Tom. And this is what we've got to do as well. We've got to sort of reactivate our imaginations. Your imagination has been taken away from us. Here's a thought experiment, right? And I said this to my son, Stephen. And Steve, I love you. You know I love you. I'm always with you. And you're always with me. But, yeah. Lovely, calm summer's day in the British Isles, Tom. And they're not the British Isles, you fucker. Yeah, fuck off. Fuck off home, you British. Sorry, Tom.
Fucking right.
Here's a lovely calm day in this neck of the woods. That's a better way to put it, you know. Lovely calm day. And I said this to Stephen before. There's a technology there to, I said so many things, but yeah. There's technology there to have your own hoverboard, your own private sort of hovercraft, like, the old, I was gonna say, not Simpsons. What's the old Jetsons? The Jetsons. You know what I mean? There's that technology has been there fucking ages. There's no
hovercraft technology.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. So imagine, here's the thought experiment for, here's the thought experiment from everything you've ever kind of experienced throughout your life. Apply this to this thought experiment and imagine the most calmest of days. And I want to head over to see Tom, and I have the ability, this hoverboard ability, just to hover above the surface, whatever, whether it be water or earth. I went across the English Channel, and I could do it at, let's say, 100 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour, 500 miles an hour, whatever you wish, like perfect safety. On the calmest of days, I'm going to head over to you, what is it, 80, 100 miles, let's say. How flat is that water going to be? When are you going to encounter a curve? When are you going to have to steer down? Oh, fuck, I'm getting over the edge now. You're not. And if you can extend that imagination to traveling to France, traveling from France down to Africa, down around the south of Africa, it's going to be the same fucking shit all the way around. You know what I mean? It's going to be flat. You're never going to encounter any major curves downwards, upwards, sideways, or otherwise. That's all the fucking imagination hijacking that they're responsible for, whoever you will say they are. Now, here it comes back to truth as well. Who are they? Are they really helping us? What is our true history? What is our true nature? Where do we really come from, you know? What is our true essence? And this is the point. So, regarding the flat earth, anyone who diminishes, and I've made a few comments incognito, let's say, in the anonymous chat, but yeah, anyone who diminishes and belittles investigation into this, what is, and can only amount to the most important area of investigation ever, conspiracy-wise or otherwise, anyone who diminishes and discourages investigation into it, is suspect to the highest degree. That's all I can say. To the highest degree.
Well,
because, and I'll just finish by saying this, Tom, not because, you know, it's such a ridiculous thought, because anyone you mention it to, you go out in the street, you mention it to anyone at all, it's ridiculous. It's just completely ridiculous. There's no reasoning behind it. Not because of that. It's because we have come further. We have seen the conspiracy bullshit. We've made our way through years of kind of brushing aside lies and, I guess, trying to get closer to a core truth. Yeah, so we have to be able to entertain anything. But because, this is it, but because there is so much fucking evidence, direct or otherwise, to suggest that indeed we are living on some sort of a flat level as opposed to a careering, sloping, spinning,
oblate,
obnoxious ball. Oblate, yeah. You know what I mean? And that's the biggest reason. And this is what I know. I know this as well. This is what separates the wheat from the chaff. If you do that if you say it's ridiculous and just give a few scant reasons for saying so. Oh, well, it's because flights. You can fly all around the world, so therefore, yeah, don't look into it any further. You know what I mean? No, it doesn't work, you know, and you show yourself up, your true colors are shown to those with eyes to see, and unfortunately, but fortunately as well, Tom, I know you have a beautiful daughter, and she is wise beyond words. She is. My son is wise beyond words, beyond us, and they're the ones who are going to wake up into this beautiful truth, I think, you know, I think, I hope, and I wish and I pray with all my heart. And I know it's true as well, but it's you know what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying
well,
to you
here. Well, I think you can find your own beautiful truth within, you know, as you were saying earlier, within your own self, you know, and once you're free from this sort of society's made up nonsense bullshit, then there's got to be a good starting point. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. But let me say this. Can I ask you this question, Tom? And again, I'm going to have to put some sort of a funny picture up on the screen or something because it's, again, there you go as well, isn't it? It's just some conditioning. I have to
what,
be looking at something.
Box?
I feel
to I'm talking to it's just a computer screen. I shouldn't read too much into it. Yeah, you could,
well, you imagine could me and you, imagine me and you here sitting down or there, wherever in Cambridge. I've been to Cambridge. But imagine me and you sitting down, having a glass of beer, smoke, guitar in one hand. I was going to say chick in the other hand, but...
Chick in the other hand.
My imagination
yeah,
is running a little bit, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, I can just imagine.
But you know what I mean? It would be a different environment. It would be a different feel to things,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you... Yeah, of course. You've...
So...
You've seen me at work in my at the tax office then, clearly.
Tax, oh my God.
It's half past three. Half past three.
We're
talking balls. Well, you see, I don't know what shape the earth is, but the, what seems clear is that, you know, the unravelling of science wouldn't end at, you know, 100 miles off the ground, or 4 miles, you know, I don't know. It doesn't, the fakery doesn't start at the ISS.
No, for sure. Okay, Tom, I mean,
Physical question, surely. I don't know. I really
right,
don't know.
Sure, okay, I grant you that. I grant you that, of course. But let's be honest, I mean, this is, for me, no time is any time to be sitting on a fence. Sure, we don't know loads of stuff, you know, but you've got to sway towards certain opinions. And whether they're sort of half-hearted up to kind of full-blown, well, that's just down to you, you know, only you are you. Who gives a fuck? Who knows what Tom thinks? You know, you're trying to, if you're an honest, I'm not saying about you, Tom, I'm just saying if one is an honest investigator, well, you're trying to find out for yourself to the best degree possible, what is actually what, you know. Now, for me, let me just say this first of all. For me, right, I know, yes, the earth is not round. And I will describe myself as a globe or earth skeptic. But I go further because I can't just sit in a fence. Yes, the earth is not a globe. Yes, the earth is flat. That's, everything tells me if I'm to sway to a side, and because I know there's a side there, well, then I have to become fixed on some position because otherwise I'm only just going to keep floating around and be half-hearted willy-nilly, and that's no good. That's not what we're here for, you know?
Yeah, well, my firm position on it is that when you look across water, what we see is exactly consistent with what we'd expect to see on a flat surface with the laws of perspective. Now, within that, we see things disappearing behind the horizon, just as we see them through a telescope, apparently when we're looking at the curve, over the curve.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears to behave exactly as we would expect from perspective. And then, of course, if you get a stronger telescope raised to your eye, you can then see things again which appear to disappear behind that horizon. And this is, and we see them on the level. And you can repeat this with a couple of telescopes until it, you know, until you can't see any further. But so that is very compelling to me because
well, that's just one of the pieces of evidence. I mean, but what I'm trying to say, Tom, is if you declare yourself a globe earth skeptic, right? Well, what you're doing then is saying, well, look, I could be in the flat earth camp, or I could be in the concave earth camp, or I could be in, you know, any other possible number
of
camps.
Yeah, but it's all up in the air, isn't it? It's all totally up in the air. And I think if the thing about the flat earth thing, when it came in, they people pushing the term, pushing. It's like, and they're pushing that model and that UN map and the...
Well, Tom, you're a clever guy. Come on, fuck's sake. Look at you. Actually, you know, Tom, above anyone else, you are the single most,
cool, go on, this sounds good.
You're the single most excellent contributor towards knowledge on, fakeology.com with all the levels and depth of your research and all the digging and all the piercing through, the vast array of topics, you know. And I say that sincerely, you know, and it's true.
Oh,
I don't think anyone
Peter.
Could have, and there's many excellent contributors. That's, absolutely, for sure.
Well, you're a man who can likes a superlative and is a lovely dreamer. And I don't mind you saying that.
You know,
you're just making it up as you go along.
the honest man doesn't take praise too easily, you know, but that's fine. But I mean, I don't think anyone can doubt it because the evidence is there, Tom. You've contributed so much and...
I've done a few, I suppose for British people, I've done a few things that perhaps we hadn't talked about before, haven't I?
And that's your route. I hope, Tom, as you were doing all these things, that you were learning yourself, not only about yourself, but about life and the structure of everything in general.
I have no shame in saying that I laughed a lot with finding a lot of this stuff out. You know, it was kind of the reverse of duper's delight. It was like a delight of honesty, of finding the truth of delight, maybe. Oh, God.
That's good, Tom. You heard it here first, folks.
Truth of delight. Because when you find out that 58 people weren't burnt to death in some horrible fire that you grew up with a real traumatised by, you know, there's a joy then. I found it, felt a joy. I did really feel that relief, that release. So, yeah, there's absolutely joy to be found in these fields. It's a bit of a lonely search, but I tell you, if you can find 58 people not dead, that's a pretty darn good
that's
mission.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean that, you know.
It's pretty good going. It's pretty good. And imagine everyone found out that was the case. Imagine everyone found out that no one died in 9/11 or no one was injured in Paris.
I just think by the nature of it, they're just not going to, are they? The media's all controlled. We're allowed to have a tiny little corner of it. And
Here we go. You've been there. You've done that, right? You've lived. You've uncovered certain layers. Now, I hope you have more children, but all I've ever heard of is your one child, your daughter.
Yeah, I've got two stepsons and one daughter.
One full daughter, I mean...
Yeah, only one from my own loins.
And there's a difference there. Do you reckon there's a difference there, Tom?
Well, I think there is a difference genetically or whatever.
Emotionally and socially or whatever. Yeah.
Stepchildren. What time? I brought up my boys from the age of 6 and 9, and much as I'm very close to them. They're Filipinos as well, so it's a cultural difference, and the mother and I are not together anymore, but only recently, relatively recently. But, it's not the same for me. My daughter and I are very close, and my boys are just, they're always kind of like, they know you're not your real dad. I don't know. They always knew I wasn't their real dad. They were 6 and 9 when I first knew them. If I'd brought them up from babies, I think it'd be different. But I'm still close to them. Still love them in my own way. blah, 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 blah. What
no, 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 and look, again, Tom, I'm sorry. you know, I mean, I can stop recording or we can go out to the lobby or anything like that. I mean, I don't want to, I didn't mean to.
It's no
but again,
problem.
That's what I'm trying to say, Tom.
Funny old game. Because we used to start, we talked on here, we used to start talking on here as a handful of people talking to each other, didn't we? And it was just, you know, and as you're saying, we're talking about things that no one else was talking about. And, including things like what was the shape of the earth before this, that came along. But, years later, you know, Ab said to me the other day, oh, thousands of people download these audios. And you suddenly think, oh, this was just my little club, you know, my little place where I found myself. I didn't think really, I just got on these audio chats and said anything, not caring about people listening particularly. But, it's a funny old game. Funny old game.
Yeah, it is, Tom, and I mean, look, it's fucking, you know, we gotta laugh as well whenever you can or get the opportunity to laugh. Life is lonely, life is desperate. I don't make any pretenses about it. And what makes it more desperate is knowing that everything is a lie. It's not just one thing, it's not just some things, it's everything.
Well, you know, I think part of what we need to do is find it, yeah. Anyone, everyone needs to find their own peace in life,
and that's why I mentioned your daughter in the first place. I mean, you know, okay, even if we're devoid of any hope or devoid, you know, what do we do to our children? Our children are brighter than that, you know what I mean? And are not that our children are so intelligent. I mean, what can we, you know, do we let them, what was that cartoon, what you either go for a convenient truth or
a convenient lie or an inconvenient truth.
Right.
You go for the convenient lie.
Yeah. I think the cartoon was they were heading into a cinema, you know, and one was labeled one was labeled the other. But these are the things we love. These are the things that we give our lives for this minute.
We're,
you know,
we're letting,
I mean,
our children go into the convenient lie of school, the school system, and into a normal job and everything.
Yes. And these are the bigger questions then, you know. And that's why there's no room for fences. There's no room for fences. You can tell, and I'm not saying you can, I'm just saying in general, me, I can tell my son, well, son, this is where I'm firmly sort of set in. You know, this is where I fall. You don't have to fall that way because I respect and know that you are a separate, equally beautiful individual as I am, you know. But know that I love you and know that, you know, I wouldn't steer you wrong knowingly. And that's, you know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to get across there, Tom. So there's no room for fence sitting because it's too serious. And, you know, it's difficult. It's impossible, almost.
Nobody said
it was going to be easy.
It's outrageous, isn't it, really? In a way, they're hijacking human nature, true human nature. And that's the fascinating thing to me. You know, what more could we really know about existence and the true nature of reality?
Here's the absolute rub. Everything we've been told and been taught is a lie, right? So who are we really? Where do we really come from? And who is teaching us? And
when did
why
it start?
Are they teaching us? Why,
when did
what
it start?
Us?
What's it? What's really the shape of things? What's
now? When you're, if you're a Freemason,
what's real,
Tom,
history? You know,
right? If you're a Freemason, there's two ways to get on in this country. I'm speaking about Ireland to all those international listeners. There's two ways to get on. You join a political party, or you join the Freemason. Now, there's a few other minor ways to get on, obviously, but there are two ways you can assure success in a certain sense. Now, what do the Freemasons have? I guess, whatever about it, most probably political party members become Freemasons eventually. But what do they have that we don't have? Well, they have secret information. They have knowledge that's been passed down for specific reasons, whatever that is, good or bad reasons. Let yourself again, the individual has to take their own path. I mean, speaking for myself, that's all I know. And I don't even know me. So, in fact, before we begin. But, yeah, you know, so, yeah, there is other information out there. We don't know. I'm not affiliated with anyone. I've made no vows, no oaths, no, what do you call it? Yeah, to anyone, what even in terms of marriage. I've never been married, like, Tom, never. The only thing I did sign, I'm raging. But I avoided all that in my own mind. I got my son a birth certificate, right? And the only reason I got him that was because he had to go to school. And up until that time, I said to his mom, why do we need a birth certificate? Even when my son was born, actually, they wanted us to give a name in hospital. And my point of view was, you see, I guess we're all on a predestined path in a sense. But my point of view back then, before I knew anything, was, hang on, we don't have to name him. A name wasn't coming easily to us. And we don't have to name him. You know,
you buy into society, don't you? Really, you say, right, now, I'm going to play this game.
Tom, you put your fucking finger on it. We buy into society because this society is a commercial society. It's all about it's all about commercial law. We're all commodities, and when you sign your child's birth certificate, you could create a commercial commodity, a legal commodity that can be bought and sold, a fictional entity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it sounds all sort of, you know, it sounds all scary and like, you know, like a slave master, but, you know, the reality of it is that we just sort of, you know, we go and play this game of civilization, don't we? But this bullshit, you know, with bullshit rules and stuff, but, you know, it kind of works.
Well, but it's all a trick, Tom. That's the point.
Well, the control is, yeah.
And the point I was trying to make is, well, we left the hospital and my child didn't have, he's not my kid. I never use that word anymore because a kid is a baby goat. And my child, that's not even, I don't even like using that. My son, I will say, you know.
Goat boy. But, you're not going to go around calling goat boy.
it's all word trickery, spellcraft, like, you know what I mean? And if you name something, you give power to it only because you have power yourself, you know? And we do have ultimate power, and it sounds strange to say that, but it's true, you know, if you had cancer and you've thought enough of yourself, you can heal yourself of it. It's been proven, you know. Sounds strange again, but yeah, you either believe that and know that, or you don't.
Well, you know? I think that idea. I'm not the power of the mind. If we weren't so conditioned from right from the start, you know, that could be that we are capable of much more. You know.
We can overturn everything. If we can just change our mind, it's not as if, like, you know, well, if only we could go back to those days, back to the days when I was a babe in the crib, then if things were different, then everything would be different. No, man, you can turn everything like that.
But you're born, and it's a cold, you know, hostile, you know, dangerous world in a sense. You need to eat, you need to keep warm, you need to, you know, get shelter, and you enter into society with the other people in there, and you know that's only because
it's structured that way, Tom.
Yeah,
it's not that. That's not like natural evolution. That's completely unnatural evolution, just as the globe Earth evolution is. You know, and look at the number of difficulties they have after fucking 500 years. And even once you wake up. Go out your door at 3 o'clock in the morning, put your bed down and put a little cot down on the ground and just stare up the stars, considering the flat earth, considering that we're not moving or whatever.
That's what got me onto it, really. When I first thought, we're not going round the sun. And actually it feels kind of, you know, still. And that gave me a grounding, that felt inspiring when I first got that. And I thought, wow, yeah, I really, it makes complete sense that lie started then, you know. So, yeah, I got... My mind.
So, and here's the conundrum then, Tom. Like, going on to a different area, and it's great to talk as well. I don't get the chance to talk too much, but I was talking a good bit tonight. But here's the conundrum then, right? If you're a ball earth skeptic, you have to, because of its duality, you have to, not you now, not talking about you specifically, Tom. If you kind of come to question, if one has come to question the ball, right? The only reason the ball has come into existence and its whole cosmology has been accepted is because it has had time to account for all sort of empirical evidence, empirical observations, right? So if we've come to realize or come to think about the possibility that, as opposed to us spinning in the sense that they say we're spinning, 1,000 miles an hour around the equator, 60-odd thousand miles an hour around the sun, and that itself 600-odd thousand miles an hour around the core galaxy. Well, if you've come to the realization in your own brain as just the individual investigator and sat down, looked up at the stars at 3 o'clock in the morning outside your back door, your back garden or whatever, and come to question that and realize, hang on, it appears for all intents and purposes, all the world that I'm still. Well, if that is the case, and you ask yourself truthfully, what are the implications of that, the reverse of what they said, then you must, I think, if you think it through, if you spend maybe enough nights out there, maybe spend a few more nights thinking in a few days, looking up at the ceiling, then you must come to the opposing point that you are still and everything is moving around you. And if that's true and you have a basic understanding of science, which unfortunately, or not even science, of the nature of the place we find ourselves in, and unfortunately most people don't. Most people just don't read. Most people, not that they don't have the capabilities, because I really do believe everyone has equal capabilities, but it's just, there's so much distraction, you know. What, you know, we know this as well. You have the, it's a funny thing as well, Tom, isn't it funny, when the football is on one channel, Coronation Street, and the soap operas on another.
Hold on.
That's just a further division to divide, you know what I mean?
You cut out there for just the meat of what you were saying, but something about soap operas and football being on television at the same time or something.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Yeah, that's a further sort of wedge to divide males and females.
Well, there seems to have been a sort of real effort to get women's football promoted as well now. They're certainly definitely using sport alongside the terrorist meme as a reference. Yes. Thing. We see that in Paris, didn't we? Hollande was at the football stadium and they sold it through the football.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, they tie it all in and it's all controlled. Everything's all controlled. And it's this amazing sort of network of planned, organized stuff for years in advance, you know, it seems, right. You know, it's a military operation.
Sorry, it's organized division, you know, if you can separate loved ones from loved ones.
That's for the girls and you know, EastEnders for the girls and football for the boys. Yeah, yeah.
But it's not for the boy or the girl, the man or the woman who goes out and does what I just advised to do. Bring a mattress out in the back, lie down, look up at the stars and contemplate.
And you'll get frozen in this weather, but yeah.
Well.
But no,
bring it back.
Yeah, it's special. It's special, that feeling. Yeah, that.
You know what I mean?
And it then feels safer. That you've been bullshitted to about spinning and going around the sun and travelling so fast through space. You know, that's. I mean, maybe I'm deluding myself because it's reassuring to think that that is bullshit. But it's empowering. That's empowering. Absolutely, because you've been told something very, quite actually fundamental about your where you are.
You're being, and yeah, it exactly, feels Tom. Like but you're more than you've been told, you're discovering. You know, you're observing, and especially if you have someone like us saying, hang on, look, be skeptical about certain things. And I would say to everyone, that's my first topic of conversation now, Tom, is what shape is what's the nature of the place you live on? And how do you notice? Like,
oh yeah, are you going around with that? That's your meme, is it? Yeah.
Well, if it's not my first port of call, I definitely bring it in pretty soon because it's vital. And you know, how many times do you want to see fucking grown men in shorts kicking an inflated rubber ball around? You know, how many variations on a theme do you want? And I understand the attraction to it as well. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing anyone, actually, for that matter, anyone at the top of their game performing. And that's what we all sort of crave for.
Yeah, we're only playing, aren't we?
David Bowie on his best day performing A Space Oddity, or Wild as the Wind. You know that song, Tom? One of my favorite songs, Wild as the Wind. Don't you notice life is hell?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd really like some of his stuff, selectively, but yeah.
I didn't. That's just one of the songs, but you can't, it's like anyone else, you can't throw out the beauty with the ugliness.
Yeah, that's right, There's nothing wrong with
you can't throw out the light with the dark.
There's nothing wrong with soap operas or whatever, in a sense of, like, you know, a little drama that runs, and you know, it's normality for people. It's the back pages of all the football, then EastEnders is on every night, and it's if people get into routines. And,
yes, yeah. But if there's nothing more, Tom, this is the point. If there's nothing more than football or soap operas, well then, you've sold yourself down to Swanee, because we're all, each and every one of us, there's no difference between any of us. If everyone here, and I haven't done it actually, I tried to make it, but I'm just making a point here, but if everyone here had a good fucking talk, a good joint, or if everyone here had a good strong bandy,
a good sort of full syringe of
right, help. Yeah, you know what I mean, just a sort of good snort of cocaine, just something to,
you know,
bring
just
you into
a, you know,
a vital moment,
a huge bag of crystal meth.
Well,
they just, no, I mean, I wouldn't encourage, you know, you're talking about opening people's minds, aren't you? Whether you're going to break some really bad distortion, Pete. No, you sound like, you sound like promising now. Hello?
I'm here, can you hear me?
Yeah, this is better. You got a load of breakup for a few moments.
Oh, sorry about that, alright. I mean, I guess the microphone is maybe a bit too sensitive, but
I won't ask what you were doing.
That's what I was trying to say, Tom.
It might be another Rivita incident.
I didn't hear that now, but I read your comment about that, but that happens. I mean, my microphone is at the corner of the screen, but anyway, I was trying to say, Tom, is we're all made up of the same stuff, and if only the right sort of frame of mind came into most people, if only most people had, well, that's why drink is so popular as well, isn't it? There's a difference between a man with no drinks and a man with even two drinks. You know what I mean? That sort of fog is lifted, and it's not something that's introduced to us, it's just something that's removed from us, you know, it's sort of unveiling our true capabilities of thought and emotion. You know what I mean? So you can spend your life looking at football, and I'm not saying this, I'm nobody to be speaking, but you can spend your life looking at variations on a theme regarding soap opera narratives or scripts, but Jesus Christ, surely sooner or later you're going to come to realize that, well, if that's all I've spent
my whole life doing.
My faculties on. You know, I haven't come to learn much.
I know, this is a thing. It's just so, a lot of people seem to be happy to settle for what seems to me to be mediocrity, and, but they're just happy to have their little families and love each other and, you know, just soak up that television in a stupor each night and then go to bed and get up and go to work. You know, so they
but that's,
pay
our,
the,
that's our
so
impressions,
pay
Tom. That's our impressions, but, you know, when it comes down to it,
We know fuck all about anyone else. We know fuck all about anyone else.
Are they
just
really
happy? There's no piercing that.
Yeah.
There's no piercing that exterior, you know.
People could be happier for sure, you know.
Well, in a million.
Yeah, people are dominated by talk of terrorism and extremists and you know, this stuff that we see as outright lies and you know, part of the control mechanism. But they talk about it all the time, you know.
Well, but they don't, Tom. They don't. They forget about it immediately. They don't care. That's not the idea. That's not the idea, I think.
A lot of people do forget about it. A lot of people don't give a shit.
It's the likes of me and you are bothered about it.
Because they think someone else is going to deal with it, you know.
I don't even think they go that far, Tom. You know what I mean? It's just wrapped up in a daily life. A daily routine.
Yeah, it's just part of the furniture. Yeah, well, they think they're probably...
You know, okay, well, someone died at Paris last week. Oh, isn't it very sad? And then a couple of weeks later, no bearing whatsoever on their current existence. Whereas the likes of... I'm not saying the likes of me and you as if we're something special. Ooh, look at the lads. But, yeah, I mean, fucking hell, it's horrible. I mean, because it's all artifice. It's all... a facade, and it's all a facade that's keeping, and I don't even want to use the word humanity, because human, you're not human, Tom. I'm not human. I'm a man. If you're human, if you describe yourself as human, you see, in their language, you're a variation on a theme. You're an animal. You're a chattel, you know.
You know what I mean? Language,
you're not human.
Which they have this language?
Well, they, the controllers, the legal eagles.
Okay.
You know, that system, that civilized system that we have bowed down to be part of.
I'm a man. I shouldn't call myself a human being.
No, because under their, not that you shouldn't, right? Not that you shouldn't, but as you mentioned earlier on, we're part of this civilization. You have ID, right? You're part of their system. You uphold their laws or else you're in trouble. So if you're going to be part of their system, you've got to be careful about the terms you use, because their system is a legal system. And if you fuck up, you're in trouble with their legal system. And if you describe yourself as human, well, if you look up dictionary definitions of what they really know, or what they really take to be the definition of the word human, well, then you'll find, and you can see it yourself by just breaking up the word, human. You're a hue of man. You're not man. You're a color. You're a shade. You know, so, and this is how they view it. This is not how me and you view it. When I say to you, yes, sure, you are human, Tom. Sure, I'm human. But, yeah, this is how we've been tricked as well, you know. We're using words that we don't know the real meanings of, if words have any meanings. And that's why whenever you're talking to any judge, whenever you're talking to anybody in any position of apparent authority, you know, that could lead you into their legal system, you should always say, and I'm saying this to myself as well, all words I use are according to the common English. I do not understand your language legalese, and therefore I cannot communicate in it. Because when you say a certain word in their environment, you're in their system, you will hang yourself, because you are saying words, or when you answer certain questions, if you think are straightforward, you're not answering questions that, you know, you believe to be true, I guess, if that's putting it correctly. Do you know what I mean? So that's the terms I mean that in. You know, are we human? Well, we're not. We're man. We're man. And that includes women, because women is a part of man, you know. But yeah, that's all the abracadabra, you know, the spellcraft, the word trickery.
Well, it's it. Yeah. I mean,
And that's why, and there you go, Tom, there's another one. That's why most performers, actors, and many others change their names. They set up a persona. They know about the person. They know about the legal. They know about within a structure, within the bubble we find ourselves, or the dome, if you want to put it like that. They know the structure. They know the nature of things. Why is Barack Obama Barry Cerreto? You know what I mean? They know it. That's another good one as well. And I think it ties into a greater picture. Why is there such difficulty about Barack Obama and his birth certificate? I think there's a message being sent across, you know what I mean? But that's a different...
Yeah, yeah, there's perhaps some legal loophole sort of thing going on there or something.
Well, it's the artificial part, Tom. Surely you know about that.
Why did they bang on and on about that? Maybe on one level it was always get out clause. You could say, oh, it wasn't valid anyway, you know. I don't know. What was that?
Tom, you're in the music profession. Everyone changes their name. Surely you know why people change their name.
Well, not really. I mean, I'm going from the layman's point of view of like, you know, get a showbiz name so it sounds catchy. So David Bowie. I mean, he was David Jones, you know, he wasn't Bowie at all. David Jones Locker,
eh?
Well, you know, there's a long history of it, isn't there, you know?
It's a character. The character dies. The name dies.
Yeah, and he got the idea of that, and he very much understood the idea of what things work and the idea of myth and a sort of false deity or whatever, the Messiah. And he played up to that by creating these characters and... Yeah, didn't he, like Ziggy Stardust and stuff? So he played in art.
Tom, come on. Remember Space Oddity? Do you know when that came out?
Oh, it came out 5 days before the launch.
Did you mention that?
69. I probably did, but someone else did. Yeah, absolutely, the timing of that.
He's a controlled character.
He must be, you know, absolutely. You've got a thing. He's a long-term project. And what a successful one, you know. What a star he was. But effectively, he was a star of... he was co-opted, surely. I don't know. I mean, he did some interesting stuff. But he loved Crowley, didn't he? I mean, he was interested in the, you know, the Golden Dawn and...
But that's another rabbit hole, Tom, isn't it?
Well, maybe it is. I mean, because they were all into it. Jimmy Page.
Here's one for you, Tom. What if they were all let in a big secret? They were told about the true past, and they were asked to perform a role in order to lead us back to a situation that existed previously and we're getting back to. What do you think? Would you play a part?
Well, I kind of quite liked sort of three quarters of what you said, sort of thing. I think they would have been perhaps, you know, an arm around them and sort of given a bit of knowledge, a little bit of, I don't know. And then what would be the noble lie that they wanted to do anything to be stars. They'd happily take the money and know that they were sponsored you know, they still think they will have an artist with integrity.
But Tom, I'm just after
to the agendas.
I'm just after realizing something for the first time. I'm just after realizing an anagram of Amen is name.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting one.
You can create a character. Elvis didn't die, but the character died. Elvis is John Connor.
No,
you know,
he's
and it's
not.
It's not as if they hide it as well.
You're into these celebrity fucking no-nos. That's what I think. John Cotton.
Well,
I mean, Elvis loved his drugs, and he didn't look. I mean, he wasn't that fat in the end, but he looked unhealthy, and he definitely had some health issues. He was.
I thought Elvis loved his kung fu.
He loved his kung fu, but he loved his drugs as well, for sure. I mean, the guy was a blubbering quaalude addict.
Have you inside information, Tom? Do you not think Elvis died?
Well, I tell you what, I'm an Elvis fan from age 7 or something. So younger than that, maybe. So I looked at him a lot growing up. And yeah, I've looked at him a lot over the years, and that would be my sense.
What would be your sense? That he did die?
Yeah.
On the toilet?
Yeah.
Come on, mate.
Well, if he did, I mean, I think if they were trying to dress it up, they would have said he didn't die on the toilet.
They would have said he died
No, man, they love their irony. They love fucking with the people, you know. What a kind of an apt way for a fake king to go.
They would like the joke of it. Elvis for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, what an apt way for
that.
A fake king to go.
Never say never. I don't think people haven't, or famous people haven't faked their deaths. You know, old Peter, for sure. There's one or two out there, for sure. You know what I mean? That we don't know about, that did.
There's
sure.
loads of them, Tom.
Yeah. But definitely not as many as you think, I don't think. I mean, I've got direct experience of my best friend died, a rock and roll death, you could say. But people do die, you know, and it does happen, you know, and there is a drug usage. And
Do you think David Bowie died from cancer then?
Oh, well...
And do you think he left instructions that his body be ripped away from his family and cremated?
Yeah. On a great social engineering, psychological standpoint, these big things like a figure, such a famous figure like that, and then being able to say cancer, 69. I mean, that could be an agenda. I could see that you could just, because he had heart problems he'd had heart attacks in recent years. He had the first one in 2002 or something. He could have just had it could have been heart problems, I don't know, and they could have called it cancer, you know, but I'm not saying that, as far as I know, and again, I've worked in a cancer ward, I know that people do die of cancer, people with money die of cancer, do you know what I mean? Having money isn't necessarily a way to pay yourself out of it. So, I mean, it really does happen, and 69 isn't that young, considering what Bowie put himself through, you know.
I'll tell you something, Tom. I don't know much, but I won't die from cancer.
You won't.
I won't. No, there's no chance I'll die from cancer.
Well, good man. Good. No.
And if I know that shit, surely a billionaire. Surely, I heard he was almost a billionaire, but surely a billionaire knows. Come on.
Well.
Come on, Tom. Come on, Edward. Come on. Come on.
I'm open to...
Okay, you need to be more than open, Tom. You need to be firm, I think, anyway. But anyway,
you're not on the fence guy. Yeah, I'm gonna come down firm.
Let me get back to thinking about it. I was just saying, that's the way I think, you know, I mean, but let me get back to, as it goes, bit of full circle, back to Bowie, right, this guy, Jack Stephen, he comes on Sky News, and
comes
everyone...
on weird and gilly, like some types of... like some cat from Japan, yeah, come on. Yeah.
Anyone who's outside Europe, I suppose, just type in Sky News and Jack Stephen, right? And
yes.
Just Stephen as well. What a made-up name, Jack
Stephen.
Get
carried away on that DNA similarity there, on that sort of little sort of, yeah.
It's But Tom, listen. It's not just that, again. It's... the guy obviously has a wig on, right? You're going, that doesn't fucking suit his hair. Now, there's a few other anomalies, just bear with me. One of the anomalies is, even on high definition TV and Sky News, everything is fucking clear these days, everything is top quality. But, on this 10-minute interview, every time the camera comes on solely Jack Stephen, right,
yeah.
It starts fucking warbling up, it starts sort of like you have compression issues, and then the camera goes off to the presenter, and everything is fine again, you know, back to Jack Stephen.
And then it goes to him, and then
I'll
tell you what that probably was. They probably got him on there on purpose, because they know how uncannily a little bit like Bowie.
Okay, fair enough.
And
that's
then they said, yeah, get a bit of the old, muck up the picture a little bit, and that'll really get him going. They'll get Peter Shea going over in Limerick there.
Okay,
he'll be fucking
fair.
Loving that one.
Right, Tom, I'll bear that in mind. But that's just one part of it. Now, you have this guy, he has an obvious wig, fair enough, that can fall under your category there. An obvious wig. He's the same eye ridges, same eyes, same nose.
Same eyes!
Right.
How can you tell from that, watching the television? And set your same eyes.
Right, and I understand that David Bowie had one eye colour, but if you look at contact lenses, obviously.
Oh yeah, that would be a giveaway. Yeah,
but one of his eye color. Hang on, Tom. One of his eye colors is the same eye color as the David Bowie's one eye color. It's like sort of green and blue.
So both his eyes were the same color as one of David Bowie's eyes.
Right.
Oh my God. Oh,
right. Hang on, Tom. Hang on. There's more. The nose is exactly the same. The nose is orientated exactly the same way. If you look at anyone's face, there's never a symmetry, right? It's always, and if you see any face, and especially in this day and age of vixens and simulated victims, if you see any face that's symmetrical, it's fake, you know, especially if there's other indications as well, or the chances are anyway, that's the case. But yeah, there's always a certain relation, proportion between different kind of spots, you know, eye distance to nose, to mouth, to center of chin. You'll notice the angle is exactly the same between Jack Stephen and David Jones, David Bowie, and the chin, everything lines up perfectly. And here's to top it off, there's more to come, the voice, he sounds like him, right? And Edna, I'm not going to call you that, Edna, took a screenshot, and I took a screenshot myself and posted it.
Unbelievable.
Of the
you
teeth.
Are now
the teeth.
Quoting.
Hang on, Tom, let me finish. The teeth, hang on, Tom,
nemesis.
Hang on. The teeth are the same as well.
Oh.
And on top of all that, hang on, you're a seasoned investigator, Tom, on top of all that, we have this guy who comes on Sky News, top channel in British Isles, millions of viewers, the very next day, unheard of, you can't get a Google search of Jack Stephen, who the fuck is he like? So add all these things together, put that together with the story we've been fed about, I saw the Big Brother bullshit. Wow, stage was that like? Come on, most people wouldn't have seen that, but put that in, together with his body was whisked off and burned without his family knowing and dumped away, and put that together with the album, first album he's had now, go to number one, put that together with fucking David Bowie's most famous hit, Space Oddity, coming out a few weeks before the fake moon landing, just at the same time as Stanley Kubrick 2001. Yeah, come on, man.
But come on, where? You know,
what are you going to say, Tom?
The man was a tool of the establishment in the sense that, yeah, great promotion for the moon landing in 69. And then he was without doubt, co-opted
he was
connected to the hidden hand. It appears, you know. He was connected, you know, to big power.
What are you trying to say, Tom? You're not kind of.
But no, I'm just not leaping to the,
have
that
seen,
Jack
have
Stephen
seen
is
Jack
him.
Stephen
and Bowie faked his whole. Bowie definitely faked his whole death.
I'm not saying definitely. Never say definitely, Tom. Have you seen Jack Stephen on Sky News?
Yeah, I've watched it twice. Yeah.
And what do you think?
And Edna was putting it forward.
Yeah.
I mean, he made me laugh because I know he's more clever than that.
So,
really.
So what do you think? So you think Sky News? You think Sky News got a David Bowie lookalike?
You are funny.
What do you think? You think Sky News got a David Bowie lookalike? Put him in a wig.
Okay. Maybe I'm completely. You know, it's 4:20 in the morning now. Maybe I got it. Maybe I'm completely wrong. But my impression was that I look at people like that and it's a similarity, but definitely not the same person. You know, it just looked like a bloke that looked like him, you know, in a sort of quirky sort of way. And I think they probably deliberately did that, Sky News. Got him in. Now, was it deliberately to get people talking, or it helped sort of hype up the talk about Bowie and had he faked his death? Possibly. Possibly. That glitch on the screen made it look a little bit like that. But you don't think
it could have been him?
It's like the.
Have you ruled up possibility yet, Tom?
Alex fucking Jones, for fuck's sake.
Actually, have you ever met him? Have you ever met David Jones?
David Bowie? No, I haven't. Never met him. No. And I did think he was brilliant. I mean, Hunky Dory, I'd love. I always say that. But I love that album.
But why is that idea so obnoxious to you?
Not obnoxious. I'm just telling you, and I'm not sitting on the fence with it, what I firmly think. And that's my assessment on it, Pete. So I really do. And I think this is a disinformation thing.
Do you think Sky News went to the trouble of not only getting someone who looked exactly like him, all the facial features the same, but the teeth? Do you think they went to the trouble of putting in false teeth to?
Look, you cannot tell from that Sky News interview that he's got exactly the same teeth
you
as
can.
David Bowie. No,
yes, you can,
cannot.
Tom. Yes, you can.
No, you can't, Peter.
Well,
I don't think.
I've had a look at it, and David Bowie had his teeth changed as well. And I actually think maybe there's more than one David Bowie.
Yeah, he was trying to hide. He was trying to hide Jack Stevens' true identity. What's going on? Well, I just don't see it. I don't see
okay,
it.
Okay, that's fair enough, Tom. Obviously, you don't like you don't like this.
I love this line of inquiry because I love rock and roll, don't I? And I'm not so precious about it that I want to, you know, ignore anything that's going on. Interesting, you know. I mean, I was the person that found Bob Geldof foreshadowing the Dunblane school shooting, like 17
years ago. That's true. That was an excellent find. Yeah,
you remember
excellent.
That? You know. So I mean. That was Bob Geldof.
And he's still flying high, that fucker.
He's a top agent, isn't he, eh? He was, at one point, I found that interview from his daughter, Petey, saying that, did you know my dad was going to be an astronaut once? They went to Russia. It was around the time just before Live Aid. But he didn't in the end. He didn't want to do it in the end.
He went to Russia and went to this camp,
and Bob Geldof was going to be a fucking cosmonaut. You know, but so, then they changed their mind. Well, no, we haven't got that in mind for you, Agent Geldof. You know, do this band thing. Do Band Aid.
Now, there's an interesting one, Tom. There's an interesting one. Peaches Geldof. She definitely didn't die, right? Stupid story. What type of dad, I tried to say this to my mother, what type of dad would come out and arrange a press conference for the same day, get it whole organized, all the press in, and tell him his daughter is dead, but he doesn't want to talk too much about it because he wants to have his time to mourn.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I know.
So, Brian, what is it beyond the realms of reason that maybe Peaches Geldof now is sort of in character as someone else who's...
I mean, did Paula, because Paula was, Jess Yates, it was a media family, wasn't it, that she was from? She was definitely from a media family. So she may have been scripted from really early to sort of have that eventual death, that drug death,
yeah.
Perhaps. And then her daughter the same. And these parables are things that, you know, that we're supposed to, that civilize, the
Bob,
society.
Bob Geldof did a worse, Bob Geldof did a worse, than Robbie Parker. Bob Geldof came out on the day of his daughter's death. He had the wherewithal to organize a press conference. You know, take his time, get all the guys assembled, film crews and everything, and just sit up there and tell everyone we want to have privacy to grieve for our daughter's sudden death from catastrophic overdose of heroin.
You've got a son, haven't you, Peter? Have you got any other children?
No, just the one, Tom. I'd like more. There's time yet.
Yeah, well, yes, Dad. Yeah, don't give up on him. No, why not? But you know as a father that's almost impossible to believe.
You said father, Tom?
As a father.
A father, yeah. Sorry.
Father. As a father. Yeah, but, yeah, the Robbie Parker thing, and for example. But yeah, that Geldof thing, I thought, didn't ring true to me either.
No.
You know, that message that he came out with. But you know, he, with what we know about him, sort of such a high-level agent, prominent agent, and that interesting media family, Paula Yates... And then Michael Hutchins as well. I mean, what are we to think of that? I mean, did he fake it?
I imagine so, Tom. I have to imagine so at this stage, like.
Him and Paula will be together somewhere, you could perhaps say. Do you know? It might be a nice idea that they perhaps are lovers together somewhere. I don't know. Don't know.
Were they lovers in the first place? I mean, there's a whole sort of
I guess, secondary conspiracy. Bob Geldof being involved with powerful people and him having a grudge against, Michael Hutchins. And Michael Hutchins not wanting his daughter to be anywhere near Geldof. And Paulie, you know what I mean? So that's a secondary, rabbit hole, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Because you could look at one presentation of the reality just under the surface, and it makes it a little bit of a sinister picture looking at Geldof, doesn't it? Him saying. Yeah. I don't know. I know I was talking to a guy called Dave Greenfield, who's a keyboard player of the Stranglers. You might remember them as a band. But he was saying they weren't very nice people. Bob Geldof was just not a very nice guy. I mean, he knew him in sort of late 70s. And
Knights in White Satin.
No, the Stranglers, not Moody Blues.
Oh, sorry, Tom.
No, not at all. Golden Brown Texture.
Gold, that's the one I was. That's it. A song I requested for someone tonight. Whiter Shade of Pale.
Yeah,
but I think, Tom, now as you look back and as I look back on all of these different, I suppose, orchestrated culture, I guess, in a sense, totally different take on everything, and that's where the flat Earth comes in as well. It changes absolutely everything. It's the sort of the top of the pyramid, you know. It's the sort of, and maybe that's why most people find it so ridiculous, you know. That's the far out of the far out. And that's sometimes, I guess, where you have to go, you know?
Well, I suppose,
I'm not saying, and by the way, I'm not saying the Earth is flat. It's just the model, because everything is a model within my own brain. That's all it can be. That makes more sense.
The model we've been given is open for question, open to question.
Absolutely.
Completely open to question.
You know, but it's we've got to come down in terms of my own, let me speak for myself, in terms of my own existence. You know, there's different degrees, and different topics which you come down on. And, for me, well, you've got to come down firmly on most of the things that are important anyway. You know what I mean? You have to have a firm stance. And,
wishy-washy.
It's not good. Yeah. It's not good because our lives are too important, I suppose, you know. Our lives are too important.
There are some things, though, that we can't know. You know, obviously, that's the true nature of science. So we don't know almost everything. I don't, anyway. So,
if you forget everything that we have been taught, you come out to know more.
Yeah, and there are things which are provable to us, and we can know as well. And it's not all like, you know, completely, you know, we're not living in a complete make-believe world.
But here's my thought, a brief thought on these things, Tom, as well, in terms of people who are sort of instructing us or otherwise, you know, or, you know, pushing us down sort of blind alleys. Well, ultimately, everything is down to your own self, free will. You cannot be told something. You have to eke and carve your own way out and come to your own conclusions. You know what I mean? And that's why the truth movement is laced with so many, I don't want to use the word shills. It doesn't sort of ring true somehow, guiders and misguiders. You know what I mean? Are people who are gatekeepers who can only go so far. And can't go any further, you know, because that's the role assigned. You cannot tell, because we're all beautiful creatures, beautiful individuals, beautiful spirits, creations, whatever. You cannot take the free will or, you know, the free thought from someone else. You cannot tell them what's what. You can only kind of steer them along the path if you have greater, better intentions. And so that's what I think. And I don't think there's any really bad people out there.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And ultimately, that's what it needs to do.
You have no right to make it drink.
No, and I think sometimes we can put too much pressure on ourselves to, you know, expect the horse to start drinking straight away. But that's
But you're not the horse, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, horse of a man, Tom.
have to say that. I probably have the advantage over you. I know what you look like.
Yes, yes. I don't know. I don't think I know what you look like. No.
No. Well, we can rectify that anytime. So I liked your session, and I think you have it up in YouTube. It was about a 10-minute session on in some sort of pub in Cambridge.
Oh yeah, yeah. Was it a song, perhaps Feeling Good or something, working the crowd up?
No, yeah. It lasted about 10 minutes anyway, and it was great. You had a bit of accompaniment there, and
they're good players. One of the players there is my Kimberly. He was in a band called the Soft Boys years ago. They're said to REM cited them as influences, but with a guy called Robin Hitchcock he was with. But yeah, Kimberly. He wrote Walking on Sunshine as well.
Great,
Katrina and the Waves song. And what he's a great player, really. So this is the thing, like we talk about, you know, in the business and it all being controlled. You know, he is my mate, and he wrote Walking on Sunshine, made a load of money out of it, actually. You know, he's not. You know, he's just Kim. You know, he's certainly not any agenda driven from anywhere specific. You know what I mean? It's just a little bit. They were a little bit connected. You know, Alex is a. You know, military family and old school tie a bit. So I mean, this is why people get on. This is that helped them.
Was he Freemason? Freemason town?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I believe Freemasons can lie. So what you can do, and I can understand why that might be as well. What you can do is sort of wordcraft as well. You can sort of twist words, and if you take it, if someone says something to me who's a Freemason and they want me to know the truth, they can say something in a certain sense that makes it sound a certain way to my ears, but if I deconstruct it, I won't find any lie in it, you know what I mean? It's like Bill Clinton saying I didn't have sexual relations.
This is what Freemasons are encouraged to do, not lie, but be economical with the truth.
Right.
I see. Well, I didn't know that. I mean, that's a fair.
Because it doesn't do good for your soul to lie. You know what I mean? Well, you can twist the truth the way the hero.
Oh, I see.
Hears.
So that's actually a bit of knowledge. That's a bit of good knowledge. That, and I agree with that totally. I think you know, I'd like to live my life with the non-lying thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've made a vow to myself, Tom, that I won't lie. So ask me anything you like within reason. I won't tell you lies.
Yeah, that's a good one. I say to my girlfriend, you know, and she knows she can trust me. That's what I like that. Because I mean, I feel like I can trust her, you know. But very simple on a simple level. But what were we talking about? The Freemasonic thing.
Yeah, the game is, you see, the Freemasons and whatever, they know that the game is deeper. So there's a whole different history going on. There's a whole different origins going on. You know what I mean?
Well, but the nature of Freemasonry is that the vast majority of the people in the lodge or whatever have to be deceived. I was reading. I was reading something Crowley had written. Someone has written, but yeah, that you see what I mean. Like everyone's lied to, you know, really, and it's merely, you know, they're conned as well.
It's a convenient lie as well. I mean,
yeah.
But I've thought recently about the
lying's bad for your soul. They've been told it's bad for your soul. Yeah, don't lie. So they've got a culture of like having to be honest, but you know, like politicians almost. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
No. I was just going to say it strikes me the order out of chaos motto could be referring to, and probably is referring to, a kind of more reorder out of chaos. The chaos that happened when whatever our history, whatever happened in our previous times, threw everything out of balance. Whether it be a massive flood, whatever it might have been, whether it had been... That's another interesting area of conversation as well, is like, you know, giants. We're giants of the not so much mentioned in the Bible, but mentioned in myth and folklore throughout. Were they a reality? Did the flood happen to rid the earth of certain sort of monstrosities, if you will, in inverted commas? You know what I mean? And is that where the order or reorder out of chaos is that what it's all about? You know, trying to get back to that original
sort of state, which was disrupted by some sort of chaotic event, whether it's something natural, whatever that means anymore. I used to think natural was us spinning away through the galaxy at the speed of light following a massive explosion at the Big Bang. How ridiculous does that sound now? You know what I mean? So I used to think that was natural. But whatever natural is, you know, is that what the order out of chaos might be about? Getting the whole of the population, the whole of, again, inverted commas, humanity, back on track. That's what I'm thinking as well, you know. Is a distinct possibility. And that's why I'm thinking as well that, you know, life can't be paradise. The only way you appreciate anything is by going through the pain, going through the hardships. You know, you can't have the happiness without the sadness. And, yeah, everything else is what you make of it. You know, how deep you kind of, delve into it. How deep you want to delve into it. So do you know what I'm trying to say, Tom? That's what I'm thinking in terms of a greater picture, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you can find your own, you know, your own joy, you know, your own spirituality, your own, you know, order. Big questions, your order out of, I don't know on the big question, but the flood, I don't know. Was there one? I suppose there was there. But I guess there may have been.
Well, that's what I'm just trying to say, Tom. These are again, I have no affiliation, so I have no insider information, even though I'm sure lots of people do have. And there's lots of Masons around, I know that. And, yeah, so for me, it's a lot of guesswork, so I got to put a patchwork of thoughts together and sort of come out on some sort of definitive ground. You know what I mean? So I feel in my own life, that this is how serious it is, that there's any room on any major topics for fence sitting anyway, you know. But that's just where I'm coming from. And I understand if I was to take a hit of DMT now, I'd be a different person 2 minutes later. I tried to make it, by the way. I failed miserably, but I shouldn't have given up. But you know what I'm trying to say? That if there's greater levels of understanding to be had, greater levels of functionality of our brains and what they were initially capable of, well, then I know nothing now. I know less than nothing.
I know that there's
umpteen, there's untold thousands anyway who... via internal methods or via external sort of influence can come to sort of higher powers of thinking and greater understanding, you know what I mean? So yeah. I realize how limited I really am, but that's just me.
Well, you may have heard me talking about feeling like nature was communicating with me through these birds specifically.
Yes, I have. And I can share your experiences somewhat, Tom.
Yeah. And the
magpie and your grandmum, wasn't it?
That's right. That was
lovely. What a beautiful correlation, I suppose.
Yeah. So a lot of people would say, oh, Peter Shea, he's a dreamer, he's a fantasist, and he's a sort of spiritual sort of guy. But, and I've been sort of talking, devil's advocate the other way. I've been a bit more skeptical about some of your leaps this evening. But, you know, I do like that line of thinking. I mean, maybe it's a reassuring one, but, and maybe that whole thing with the feeling I had a sign from a loved one who passed was some kind of comfort thing that I was just imagining. But it really didn't feel like it.
It seemed like more. Yeah.
The evidence is there, really. Yeah, there's enough evidence there, really, to make me think something really quite fantastic. You know, it felt like that and extraordinary. That was another level of you know, it felt like an awakening in my life, you know.
So, beautiful time.
Without, you know, feet on the ground, you know, as well, you know. Some of the foreshadowing I see in some of the, how some of the stuff is presented in the media and stuff, foreshadowing. I can read it and other people can't. I can show it to them and say, look, they put this in this,
you know, this titles of this program, and look, this means that, and that means, look, can't you see? And they look at me as if I'm an idiot, you know. So, but I've had verifiable things, you know.
And look, Tom,
from reading that stuff. So I know that sort of kind of weird subliminal referencing is somehow, is that aping nature, I think I'm perhaps saying. Well, I wonder sometimes.
And, you know, go with it, Tom. And I get back to what I was saying earlier as well. It's like I assume you're on your own personal journey. You haven't it all figured out. You've come to the stage now that you realize, for the most part, it's pretty useless speaking to most people about anything. And you'll be able to sort of, not gravitate around people, but you'll be able to appreciate when someone is taking you a bit more serious. And if they believe you, if they go with you, so you're good. If they don't, you know, that's fine. You're still on your own personal journey. You don't have it all worked out. So you're kind of put all the clues together and, you know, come up with a greater picture. And as you talked about, if anyone's listening and they didn't hear it, I heard it. You were talking about your grandma who just recently passed away. And was it a magpie kept coming back or?
Yeah.
Synchronous things happened, yeah, that made you associate your grandmother's spirit, I suppose, with the responses of the bird you had. But let me just say this, Tom, I had a conversation with a bird outside my window for, I suppose, about 10 minutes, and it was a conversation. Now, I didn't understand what the bird was saying, but when I whistled, I was speaking in whistle. I was speaking in notes, in tunes, and I was conveying a message, how I felt about certain things. And when I'd stop, the bird would whistle back. Now, I didn't necessarily understand. So in a sense, I was sort of whistling to myself, but I knew that the bird was listening and was responding in its own kind. And then when it would stop, I would whistle back again, pretending that I could understand what the bird was trying to whistle to me, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a conversation, if you will, in words. And it was a communication, you know.
Yes. So, yes, Mr. Shea, I think it's time for your medication now.
Lovely. Bring it on.
Yeah. Oh, he loves medication.
In the arse,
time.
Please.
Yes. He's been so much happier since he's been in this home. Yeah. We're very strong on the drugs here. Yeah. No, I mean, look, it is the kind of thing, Peter, that I do. I sometimes listen to myself back in audio, and it's, I sound like I'm being sarcastic sometimes and a bit, you know, I don't mean to sound my tone of voice can come across not as I intended.
You're cool at me, Tom. That's cool.
Because I actually, you know, I do actually do that sort of thing.
British, man. I expect
animals, don't we?
These things.
They can't fucking understand you, but, you know, and there's much more. They say crows have an intelligence level with dolphins, you know. So there's people who go swimming with dolphins and say they found this incredible inspiration, you know. But look, there's magpies and there's crows all around us. You know, why don't we check out them a little bit closer? And
there you go.
Something really special kind of going on, perhaps, you know. The consciousness thing is can be shared across the species. I don't know. What's going on?
Absolutely, Tom. Absolutely. And look, you can't hide yourself from your dog, right? You just can't do it. Because you have no reason, first of all, to hide yourself from your dog. So if you're a bollocks, you're going to be a bollocks, you know. Your dog knows, though. You know what I mean? So, yeah, who gives a fuck who calls us insane? Who would label us with these ridiculous things?
My dog fucking hates it when I call him insane. And, yeah, he's had a right fucking bark at me.
Well, he only hates it when he doesn't deserve it. When he deserves it, that's cool.
Oh, Pete, I'm definitely going to go. It's 4:45, and I always say, if it gets to 5...
It's 4:44 actually, Tom.
4:44, all the fours.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah, beautiful. So it's a perfect time to sort of as any to say, yeah, good to talk to you. And
likewise, Tom. And hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, yeah, don't be a stranger, mate. Yeah, nice to chat. All right, take care, man.
Okay, Tom, take it easy.
Yeah, cheers, Pete. See you, mate. See you, mate.
Hi, this is Jeffrey, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.